We got the victory in Jesus. Listen, good morning to you, saints, and morning, church and family of God, and to those who is on Zoom, greetings in Jesus' name. I thank you very much in advance for giving me this opportunity to speak to you. You're going to turn your Bible with me. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 16. We'll read from verse 13 to 20. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, that's to the disciples, the apostles, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Somebody have the keys. The keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ, the Messiah. I trust that the Lord would add richest blessing to the reading of his word for his dear name and mercy's sake. Our blessed God and Father, we bow in your presence at this time, thanking thee, O God, for how great thou art. We thank you, O God, for your church. We thank you, O God, for your word that is precious. We pray now, O God, as your servant will speak the word, let him speak nothing else but the truth from your word. So help me, God, in Jesus' name. Here in this passage, we see that Jesus came to this place, Philippi. I would not preach on the last verse, which is verse 20, which says, then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he is the Christ. The reason why I would not speak on this verse is because Jesus already said to his disciples that basically his time was not yet for others to know that he is the Messiah. But he's happy to know that his the apostle that was with him, they know who he was at this time. So we're going to move on. Here we see that Jesus, he said, verse 1 says, when Jesus came into Caesarea Philippi, I'll tell you where Caesarea Philippi is. Caesarea Philippi is a place where Jesus revealed himself or revealed his identity to his disciples, but not to the world, not to the public. He revealed himself there for the first time only to his disciples. That's the first time they came to know. He told his disciples, indeed, I'm the Messiah, the appointed, the anointed one. As you say that Caesarea Philippi is a city in northern Israel, located on the north of Galilee and on the south of Damascus. Caesarea Philippi was associated with pagans and idol worshippers. So Jesus' mission on earth was going to every city, going to every village to proclaim the gospel of salvation. That was Jesus' mission while he was upon the earth, telling people about the kingdom of heaven is at hand, getting them ready for the kingdom of heaven. And in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he explained or he described Jesus' mission. Jesus said he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That was Jesus' mission while he was upon the earth. That's what he came to do. To recover, the recovering of sight to the blind. That's what Jesus came on earth to do. Verse 13 asked the question, lower down, he said here, I mean, verse 14. So they said, and Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And they continue, some say that thou art John the Baptist. We know who John the Baptist is, prophet. Some say Elijah. Some say Jeremiah. And some say the other prophet. So, right, we realize that these people who the disciples was telling Jesus what they say about him, they truly did not know who Jesus is. So Jesus asked his disciples, but who do you say that I, the Son of God, is? He asked that now to disciples. Who do you say that I am? Peter answered. He said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, well said, Peter. Like we might ask you, how did you know that? How did Peter know that? Jesus said, well said, Peter, but I'll tell you something. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but it's my Father which is in heaven. The fact is that we realize that Peter had been with Jesus. Peter knew Jesus. Peter is the one, when Jesus was traveling, he saw Peter was fishing. And he asked Peter to follow him. And Peter immediately left his net. He left what he's doing and he followed Jesus. Peter, he knew who Jesus was. He was able to answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But the question to us this morning, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know Jesus so you could be able to tell someone exactly who Jesus is? That's the question to me and you this morning. Do you really know who Jesus is that you'll be able to tell someone who Jesus is? You answer this question this morning for yourself. Simon Peter, therefore, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Simon Peter knew who Jesus is. The fact is, when we believe Jesus, it's only by the grace of God. I said, when we believe in Jesus, it's only by the grace of God. It is not by your imagination, not by your knowledge, or not by your sweat. I repeat that. When you believe in Jesus, it's only by the grace of God, not by your imagination, it's not by what you think, not by your sweat. But I said, it's only by the grace of God. Here is, he said here, is the Spirit of God that draws you to Christ like a magnet. The Father revealed his Son to you. It takes the Father to reveal the Son to you. Not by your own imagination, you come to know Christ. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We see that Peter, he knew Jesus. Peter has been with Jesus. That's why he was able to say, thou art the Christ. We observe that Peter, what he did, Peter was a fisherman, but Peter already, what he did, he left his net. He left his business to make Jesus' business his business. To follow Jesus. That's just what Peter did. So Peter, he knew who Jesus was, but he was revealed to him by the Spirit of God, by God himself, revealed that to Peter, that Jesus is the Son of God. So you can be in the presence of God or be in the presence of Jesus and still does not know who Jesus is. Could you believe that? You can be in the presence of Jesus and still does not know who Jesus is. Judas was with Jesus. He did not know who Jesus is. Thomas was with Jesus. He was not sure who Jesus is. John the Baptist was with Jesus. He was not even sure who Jesus is. And there is many more that still not show who Jesus is. But my question to you this morning, do you know who Jesus is? That's a question, that's a personal question you need to answer. Do you know who Jesus is? Peter reminded us, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter knew who Jesus is. He declared him as the Savior of the world. He declared him as the Redeemer. We declare him, Jesus Christ, as the Messiah, the Anointed One. He refer him as the Great and High Priest. He refer him as the new and everlasting covenant between God and man. That's who Jesus is. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. That's who Jesus is. But do you know him? Do you know who Jesus is? That's the important question for you this morning. When you leave here, you make sure that you know who Jesus is. That's what is important. In John 1, in John 14, verse 6, this is what Jesus says about himself. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." This is what Jesus says about himself. "I am the way," which means the way, there is no other way. "I am the truth, there is no other truth." And he said that no one come to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to God the Father. If you want to know God the Father, you have to come to Jesus Christ. And there is absolutely no other way. That's what Jesus says. "I am the way," not a way, not one of the way, but "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no other way to come to the Father but through me." That's what Jesus says. And if Jesus says that, mean it and that settle it. No other way, absolutely. The only way, that's what Jesus says. We see here in verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, "I will build my church upon this rock," he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." People ask the question, "I want to know something about the rock. We are building the church on the rock, which rock?" Jesus is saying to Peter, upon the statement that you make, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," I'm going to build the church on this foundation of the statement that you make, "Thou art the Christ." So here we see the rock, which is Christ Jesus. That's what Peter said. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So the church is built on the and what Peter said. "Thou art the Christ," that's the rock. Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. We are standing on Christ, the solid rock. He is the solid rock. Peter says, Jesus says to him, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or "the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it." Let me tell you something about the church. I know you know a lot about the church, but I'm going to tell you something about the church. The church, what Peter is talking about, the church, what Jesus said to him, "I will build my church on this rock." That's the church we are going to talk about right now. First, I want to let you know that Christ is the head of the church. Christ gave his life, or he gave himself for the church. We find that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. Christ is the builder of the church. We find that in Matthew 16 and verse 18. Christ is the one that had members to the church. Acts 2, 47. That's what Christ does to the church. The church have been the largest membership in the world. The church consists of approximately 2.3 billion members. The church is made up of 195 nations. The church is the most genuine people in the world. The church is the most generous people in the world. Why wouldn't you want to be a part of the church? That's my question to you. The church is the most loving people in the world. The church is the most peaceful people in the world. Are you a part of the church? If not, why not? After hearing this about the church, why not you want to be part of the church? Here, the church is the most persecuted people in the world and by the world because of its faith. But yet, it prevailed. Did you hear that? I say the church is the most persecuted people in the world and by the world because of its faith, but yet it prevailed. Jesus Christ says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Jesus always means what he says and says what it means. Spiteless, the church would be persecuted, but it's going to prevail. That's the promise of Jesus. He's going to keep his promise. And he keep his promise forever. I'll give you a little, not a story, but a news that I read just a couple of days ago. I saw that 6 days ago, I read something that there was a football coach that was awarded $1.7 million and he get back his job. The reason why they had fired him, maybe because he's a Christian, but I'll tell you what happened. They fired him because he led his team in a public prayer before the game. And what they did, they fired him. They belittled him. But he prevailed. They awarded him. That happened a couple of years ago, but he just came true. They awarded him $1.7 million, and they reinstated him. Get back his job as a coach because he led his team in prayer before the game. I said the church is going to prevail. The church of Christ will prevail. He will prevail. And this happened right here in America. Not in Russia, not in China, right? not in Iran. This happened right in civilized America in Washington State. But the word of God says his church will prevail. In John chapter 15, verse 8, Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hates me first. He had hated me before. So he said, be of good courage, I have overcome the world. So my question to you, do you want to be a part of the church of God? So when you become a member of Christ's church, this is what happened. You become a royal priesthood. You become a peculiar people. You become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You become sitting in heavenly places in Christ. And all the benefit would be yours in Christ. Do you want to be a part of the church? If not, why not? You have to answer this question yourself. Here is how you can become a part of the church. In John 1, 12 and 13, he says, but as many as receive me, to him give the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. As many as receive the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to give you the right or the privilege to become his son also, to become son of God. You can receive the Lord Jesus Christ and become part of his kingdom, become part of his church. That's how you become part of the Lord, of the church of Jesus Christ, by receiving the Lord as Savior, by receiving his son, the son that God sent into this world to be the propitiation for my sin and for your sin. By believing him, accepting him as Lord and Savior, you can become part of his kingdom. Simple like that. In John chapter 3 and verse 36, he says, he who believes in the Son hath everlasting life, and he who does not believe it, the wrath of God would abide on him forever. Would you want that happen to you? Do you want the wrath of God to abide on you forever? Are you a part of the church? I'm asking you. If not, hearing what the church is offering you, my question is, why not? The church, it begins after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's when the church started. In Acts 1:8, Jesus make a promise to his apostles that when he leave or when he go back to heaven, they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be my witness. You will going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit to witness for me, to tell people about me. That's what Jesus promised the apostles that was around him. Did the promise come true? Yes, it happened. It's right, it's on your word. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come. You shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. He wants his disciples, reminding them that they have to go all the way out to witness, to tell the world about me, to tell the world that I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, to tell the world that I died for their sin and rose again according to the scripture. That's what the disciples supposed to tell the people, what Jesus wants them to go out and tell the world from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, that means all over. Because why? Jesus Christ wants the good news to spread over the whole world. He don't want some to know it, but he wants the whole world to know about it, that Jesus saved. That's all. Jesus saved, and he has planned for them, for we to live eternal in heaven, for it to live forever and ever and ever. That's what Jesus cares about mankind. He does not want man to perish, but to have abundant life. That's what God wants for mankind. That's why he sent his son Jesus Christ into the world. And that's why he wants his disciples to go out throughout the whole world with the good news. That's all. It's not complicated. You know? So we say that, that's what he told them, to be my witness. We ask the question now, did it happen? Did that fulfill? Yes, it did fulfill. He said, but 10 days after Jesus ascended back to heaven, back to the Father, in Acts chapter 2, was the day of Pentecost when the promise of the Holy Spirit came upon the apostle. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that? Jesus' promise came to pass. He keep his promise forever. Here you see that 10 days after he left the disciples, while they was together, they was thinking, what next? What would happen? But you know what they was doing? They was thinking about what happened. So in the meantime, while they're thinking about what happened, they was so amazed, drawing themselves together, studying, meditating on what happened. They did not run away. And 10 days after Jesus Christ left them, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. We see that, we call that the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We see also that on that day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, that's the first time Peter would be using that key. You see, Peter had the key a while ago, but Peter is about to use that key right now. That's the time when Peter used this key with the filling of the Holy Spirit, and he preached the word, and 3,000 souls were saved. That's the opening of the church. Peter opened the church that people walk through the church. And up to now, people is still going through the same church because Peter led the way. But Peter, that's what he did. He being filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached gospel. He preached Jesus Christ. Preached his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. And we say that 3,000 souls get saved. And what happened? What happened? And the former church, and as the word says, and they continue steadfast. Now the church is beginning to build, not to build, but to continue. And they continue steadfast in the apostle doctrine. The doctrine that Peter got from the Lord Jesus Christ, the word. They continue steadfast. They were in prayer, fellowship, and in the breaking of bread. They continue steadfast. They didn't show up today and come tomorrow. They didn't show up this week and come next week. But I say they continue steadfast. That's what the word says. I didn't say it. They continue steadfast in the apostle doctrine. Steadfast, it means you always be amongst the fellowship of the believer. Fellowship means you have an eager to be where the people of God is. They continue steadfast in the apostle doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread. And he said that, and they multiply, and the church grew. In Acts 2:47, and the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Did you hear that? I didn't add to the church. The elders didn't add to the church. And the Lord add to the church daily, such as should be saved. Praise the Lord. Jesus gave three very important commands for his church to follow. Did you hear that? Jesus gave three important commands for his church to follow. One, he said to remember him. Luke 22:19-20. Luke 22:19-20. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after sup saying, this is the new covenant in my blood which is shed for you. Number one. Number two, the Great Commission we find in Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. He said, go therefore and make disciples to all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end. Praise the Lord. Number three, he says, he's talking about the unity in the body. The unity in the body of the Christ, which is the church. He said, love and, you know, love one another. We find that in John 13:34-35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you also. Please, he said, love one another. My friend, my beloved, the church of Christ belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ looked at the church as his bride, and his promise to come back to take his church where he would be and reign with him towards countless age of eternity. If you are not part of the church of Christ, you are going to left behind. And when you're left behind, you are going to go in the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. You have a choice this morning to be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you do not, I would not tell you go to hell, but I would prefer that you go to heaven. So I trust that the word that you heard this morning